This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. And just in time for Father's Day, get $5 off the limited edition Winston set by entering the code CAMPFIRE when you check out. Thanks, Harry's.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. Well, we have another great campfire lined up for you, and it's always so much fun to hear your stories. I hope that you'll share yours. Just go over to jimharold.com/campfire. That's jimharold.com/campfire and sign up, whether you're from the States, international, whatever it might be. We have convenient arrangements for each situation. And we're going to get to some spooky situations here and some folks who shared their stories on the campfire. Oh, and I almost forgot. A big shout out to all the graduates out there. I was reminded of that when one of our loyal listeners, Joshua, who just graduated from high school, said, "Hey, can you give me a shout out? I graduated." So, Joshua, here's your shout out. Congratulations. And to all the grads of the class of 2015, whatever it may be, high school or college, way to go. Sylvia joins us from California. She's been listening for about a year, found us on the iTunes app. Of course, we're so thankful to the folks over at Apple. And Sylvia is also a proud Plus Club member, so we thank her for that. Sylvia, welcome to the program. And I know you have this poignant story surrounding your daughter's birthday. And or it might be your daughter's birthday. But either way, it is a poignant story. Tell us what happened.
Hi there. Yes, I'm glad to be on the show. It basically, my family is from Germany, so and my great grandmother was British. So tea time is very important.
Sure.
Something, 4 o'clock every day. And my grandmother had passed away about 4 years ago in her 90s, and so ever since she had passed on, I had felt her. I mean, she would run her hands through my hair. I could feel and sense it. So I knew she was always there. So fast forward to December. This past December was my daughter's 15th birthday. Mm-hmm. We had taken a few of her friends. We all went out to dinner and met up with my mom. So my mom and I were talking about my grandmother, and she had let me know how my grandmother had always thought my daughter reminded her of her mother as a child. So that was kind of key to the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just talked about good times, about tea time, and how I always used to go over there, ride my bike, and drink tea with my grandma, and it was something I really cherished as a child. And after the dinner, I had drove home with my daughter's girlfriends, and my husband had taken his daughter and her boyfriend to the grocery store because we were having a slumber party. So I got home first. The girls and I were all sitting around the table, laughing, having a good time. I got up to set the cake out to get it ready next to the refrigerator and got the candles out, got everything prepared for us to sing happy birthday to her. My husband came home with the groceries. Each one of them had a bag. They both all dropped off the bags on the opposite side mm-hmm. of the counter. And they left them there for me, of course, to unpack. And they all went to the kitchen, to the living room. So, and I was getting ready to unpack them. And all of a sudden I heard my kettle. I have a tea kettle that I always keep on the stove. I drink tea myself. But I heard it whistling. And I thought, that's weird. Am I going crazy? I mean, I literally thought, am I going crazy? Did I turn that on? So So I thought, no, maybe my stepdaughter, she turned it on because she enjoys drinking tea as well.
Right.
And I did. I asked her, I said, hey, did you turn on the kettle to make some tea? And she kind of looked at me like, no, it was turned on when we dropped the bags off. And my husband confirmed it. He's like, yeah, I saw the burner turned on and the kettle on. And we thought you had turned on the tea kettle to make tea. And I looked at the girls. I thought I was just going crazy, like I had lost time and just automatically, maybe I just turned it on just out of habit. I asked the girls, because we were all joking around talking, and my daughter, and I said, did I go to the stove and turn on the kettle? And they looked at me like, no, you were nowhere near it. You never turned on the stove. And yeah. The stove, pretty new. It's only like 5 years old. It's a gas stove. And you have to push the button in. You have to turn it to the right, and it clicks three times, and then the flame lit, you know, lights up, and then you turn it to the temperature. Not once did I hear those clicks. So it was just on, and the kettle was whistling. So of course the girls all had big eyes, knowing they were going to spend the night wondering how this happened. Luckily, it was the burner with my kettle on, and there was water in there, or I'd have a burnt kettle. But yeah, I thought that was, I really felt like that was my grandma saying happy birthday to my daughter. So I decided to make a cup of tea.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. And it would seem to me that it would make sense, because that is a way that she knows that you could relate back to her. So I do believe that when we look at these things, I think sometimes people feel that it's always going to be the full body apparition or something like that. But I think, and I've told my own story about my brother, I think that sometimes these loved ones who have passed over will communicate to us in a very personal way that really is validating for us specifically. And I think that would be the case with you for this.
Yes, definitely. I mean, like I said, I feel her, I've never seen a full apparition, but I've, since actually her daughter passed away before my aunt, I was very close to her. Since the two passing, I've had been touched many a times, whether it's my hand or, you know, my grandmother running her hands through my hair. So yeah, definitely. I know they're around.
Well, Sylvia, I thank you so much for taking time tonight and telling us this very poignant story on the campfire, and thanks for your support.
Oh, you're welcome. And in the future, I'll call back because I have many more of those stories.
Sounds good. We can't wait to hear. This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Harry's. Now, Father's Day is coming soon. What are you planning on getting that special man in your life? Dad, husband, brother, uncle, whoever it may be. I know I'm a dad and I'm a husband, and I know I'm notoriously hard to shop for. And I think it's a way with a lot of guys, because they don't really vocalize what they want. They kind of just go, kind of like Neanderthals sometimes. And we don't share what we really want. Well, I can tell you something everybody wants, every guy. A great shave that's convenient, economical, and just works. And that would be Harry's. And that's the solution to your Father's Day gift. Just in time for Father's Day, our friends over at Harry's are offering $5 off the limited edition Father's Day set with the code CAMPFIRE at checkout. Now, the Father's Day set includes their chrome Winston handle. I have it. I love it. It's got a great feel to it. Three quality blades, Harry shaving cream, and a brand new razor stand. And the limited edition set also comes in a sleek box with a customizable card, and you can go the extra mile this year and engrave both the razor and the razor stand for the perfect personalized gift. And best of all, this giftable set is shipped directly to your door. Now, a few months ago, Harry sent me the Winston set. And the reason I know that this will be a great gift is every time I pick that up, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm working with Harry's. They're such a class company. They have such a great product, product I believe in and I use. And I think your dad will feel the same way. That man in your life that you're going to get something for Father's Day is going to feel like I do. I love the look and the feel of the set. I love the price. Harry's costs about half as much as the razors I used to use by those big conglomerates out there that kind of charge you an arm and leg. But those days are over. They're over. Harry's makes their own razors in their factory in Germany. They engineer them for optimum sharpness and high performance. And they make and ship their own blades. And that's why they can give us this great factory direct pricing. And the thing is I like this as a gift. Because I've noticed as I'm getting older, I enjoy gifts that maybe simpler gifts, but gifts that I use every day, you know, and not things that you would normally think about, not the latest gadget, but just something very simple that makes your life better. And that's what Harry's does. I hope you'll check it out. Go now. Don't wait, because Father's Day will be here before you know. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off the limited edition Father's Day set with the code CAMPFIRE on your first purchase. Order by June 17th to get your set in time for Father's Day. That's harrys.com and enter the coupon code CAMPFIRE at checkout. And we thank Harry's for their support of Jim Harold's Campfire. Happy Father's Day. Get that gift.
If you like The Campfire, you'll love Jim's other free podcasts. Jim interviews paranormal experts and authors on the show that started it all in 2005, The Paranormal Podcast. Get them all at jimharold.com, the free Jim Harold Central mobile app, iTunes, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Now, back to the show.
Kyle from Oregon joins us. He's been listening for a long time, way back to 2007 with the Paranormal Podcast, and then picked up on the Campfire as well when we rolled that out in 09. It's been a long time. And we're going to talk about a story that happened to him, I believe, when he was a teenager, and it has really stuck with him. Kyle, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Great. Thanks, Jim. So I was 13 or 14. I was in my bedroom that I shared with my twin brother, and our friend Mike was over, and we were playing Nintendo, as we did, and no one else was in the house. My brother Derek was sleeping at this point, and Mike and I were playing Nintendo, perfectly quiet house,
right?
And we hear a doorknob jiggle in the hallway. Derek, my brother, and I, and Mike were all very interested in the paranormal. We were watching Sightings and The X-Files. It was a thing that we were interested in and a thing that we talked about. So we were always kind of, you know, our ears were pricked for that kind of thing.
Sure.
At the same time, we were terrified of anything of the sort. So it was kind of a strange little...
love-hate relationship.
Exactly. It was a little bit of a cognitive dissonance. We wanted it to happen, but we also...
I haven't heard that since grad school. But go ahead.
We wanted it to happen, but we also hated the idea of it happening. So we heard the doorknob jiggle, and we push pause in our game, and we listen, and then silence, and then, you know, we laugh it off. We keep playing our game, and we hear it again. We push pause again. We listen, and it's silent. And at this point, we're kind of, you know, our heartbeats are racing a little bit. We're definitely tuned into what's going on, but we also kind of don't want it to be happening. And so we keep playing, and we hear it again. And at this point, we can't ignore it. There's something... Something is happening in the house that is making the doorknob jiggle. And so my friend Mike and I leave the game. We leave my brother Derek sleeping on his bed. And we walk into the hallway. And in the hallway, my sister's room, her door is closed. My parents' room, their door is ajar. And we're walking towards it, and we're both kind of, you know, scared, but also we want to see what's happening, and this is something that we've always talked about, so we want to figure it out, but at the same time, we really would rather be playing Nintendo uninterrupted by anything supernatural.
Right.
We get close to my parents' door, and it slams shut. And we're so, like, trying for this to happen, but at the same time, so our adrenaline is so high that we just start leaving the house. Like, we just want to get out of this situation.
Right.
So we run through the kitchen. We run into the side door that goes to the garage and down the stairs. And we're on the stairs, and the side door to the garage is also ajar, and that slams shut in our face right when we get up to the door.
Ooh.
And so we run back into the house, up the stairs, into the living room, and turn the TV up really high, like loud volume, and just wait for somebody else to come home. And eventually my mom does come home, and we tell her what happened, and she's, you know, she's not that interested. It's just like, oh, whatever, kid. And then eventually my brother wakes up, and he is really upset that we did not wake him up that entire time. We just left him to sleep on his bed.
Wow.
Well, whatever it was just there to, you know, have his way with him.
I mean, that's that I always find it fascinating that there are these stories that people have and they stick with them for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And certainly this sounds like it stuck with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a bizarre thing to experience. I don't know if I would believe it if my friend Mike wasn't there, and he's still one of my best friends, and he can corroborate every step of the way. And we still talk about it to this day as, like, you know, every few years we bring it up, and it's like, you remember it exactly how I do, right? And he always does. And there's no explanation to it for us at this point.
Now, I know this has certainly stuck with you. In fact, if I understand it, your brother, the one that was upset for letting him sleep, you and he are working on a book, a children's book on the paranormal. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, so our interest in monsters and aliens and ghosts has stuck with us for our entire lives, and we have actually created a children's book, a children's board book,
mm-hmm.
that is an alphabet book about monsters, and it's not a typical board book. It's not A is for apple, B is for banana. It is something that I think you and your listeners would really respond to. A is for alien, B is for banshee, C is for chupacabra. And
wow, that's
of course,
pretty neat.
Yeah, G is for ghost, S is for Sasquatch, etc. So we're really hoping to, you know, pique that interest in the young readers, and also give our adult and young adult readers something that they respond to as well, who are already interested in these monsters but haven't seen them in this specific context.
So where can folks check it out? And I believe you have a Kickstarter campaign to help you with the project. Where can people check all of that out?
Yeah, so we have a Kickstarter campaign, and they can find out everything they need to know at hazydellpress.com, and that's hazydellpress.com. And that's our little children's book publishing agency. And we're, you know, funneling everybody to that initial book through our Kickstarter campaign. And we really hope that, you know, a lot of your listeners and a lot of people who are like-minded will feel passionate about helping us make this this book a reality.
Well, it sounds like a neat project, and I wish you and your brother the best with it. And thank you for joining us tonight on The Campfire.
Great. Thank you very much, Jim.
Manny is on the line from Colorado Springs, and he's got a story from back in the fourth grade. He's been listening for a while and found us on iTunes. He said he looked up the top paranormal podcast, and lo and behold, through some mistake, I was there. Now, our shows were there, and very thankful to Apple for that. And he found us and found all of our free shows, and he's a listener, and he is now a contributor on The Campfire. Manny, thank you for joining us, and tell us this story started back when you were in fourth grade.
Hi, Jim. So back in, like I said, in fourth grade, so it was actually not long ago. Currently, I'm 21, so it wasn't too far.
Young man.
There was this house. Yeah, there's this house that we used to live in on the in Fountain, and it was somewhat of an older house. I wasn't really sure how old the house is. All I know is the back doors still use skeleton keys, so it was kind of that old. But during that night, you know, moving in, you hear some weird noises. Well, old house, you know, house would settle, but you know, the noises never really. The noises would actually always change.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember one night going to bed, and my room was downstairs because this is a two-story house. And my room was downstairs. And downstairs, it's just two bedrooms, the family living room, a small bathroom, and the laundry room. Upstairs was all hardwood floor, and that was a small living room, two extra bedrooms, and kitchen. So my room downstairs, I would hear footsteps. I actually hear what sounds like boots on the hardwood floor, and it would walk. It would start from the kitchen, which was also hardwood floor, and move down to the living room,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll start to go downstairs. Room is at the end, is where the stairs start. And it would go downstairs, and you would hear the steps go from downstairs, and it'd stop right at the edge of the room. And that would happen for a while. Until one day, my grandmother was living with us, so I had to give up my room. So one night, I was living. It was during the summertime, and I was sitting next to. We used to have this old lamp, and for some reason, this lamp that day decided to turn on its own.
Ooh.
And it's one of those clicking lights.
Right.
You have to go into the lamp and click it. And he's on his phone, and I kind of looked at him, whatever, and it kept going on and off.
On and off by itself?
By itself.
Mm.
I actually got very annoyed with him, and so I went to, I unplugged it, and I sat back down, and then the light would still turn on and off. Like, there's still getting power. I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed. So I go to my room. And mind you, this is, Colorado weather, so it is August, and it's still hot outside. It's pretty much in the middle of summer, and I woke up one morning. I remember it was 3:33 in the morning, and I woke up, and it's cold. I can see my breath just, as I was a kid. And I'm like, how is this cold? My room is right next to the laundry room, and that is the hottest room in the whole entire house. So I get up, and I'm sitting up in my room. I'm staring at the edge of my door. I see a figure, and I couldn't really make out what's going on. And as this is going on, the figure starts to make more and more of a human shape. So eventually I realize that a figure at the edge of my door is some black entity that is just leaning on my door and staring at me. And when that happened, for whatever reason, my heart just dropped. And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do.
Mm.
So I'm just like, how do I do this? I tried, calling out for help, but I just couldn't speak. I was just in shock. And finally, just the only thing I can come out of my mouth is, "Who are you?" And he didn't say anything.
Mm.
I said, "Are you there?" He didn't shake his head yes. For whatever reason, it should hit yes at me. And I'm like, "Are you alive?" And I said, "No." Shook it, no. I was actually able to make contact. I don't remember how long. I mean, exactly what I said to him. But I was able to make yes and no conversations with him.
So he would shake his head yes or shake his head no, depending on what you said.
Right. That's I would do that for about, it was like about 5-10 minutes until finally I heard footsteps coming from outside of my room, and it was my grandmother. She came to check on me because she woke up and heard voices, and she goes, "Who are you talking to?" I said, "There's a man right there." She goes, "What are you talking about?" "There was somebody right here. You just walked past him." And she turned around and she looked and goes, "Mijo, there's nobody there." I go, "How can you not see him?" And I looked back at the boy and he wasn't there anymore. And ever since then, I've never really told my mom because I didn't know how to tell her. But eventually we wound up moving out. And there's been times where I actually didn't pass where I used to live, wondering if whoever family lives in that house, if they ever experienced anything like that.
That is very, very strange. How is that kind of set up your lifelong interest in the paranormal? Obviously, you're interested. You listen to paranormal podcasts. Has that influenced it at all?
Actually, that's pretty much what started. Because from then, I always wanted to know what was that. And as I'm getting older, of course, I read more and more, you know, ghost stories until finally I get to the point where I actually pick up a book on, you know, different types of paranormal hauntings and whatnot. And then, like I said, I'm 21 now. I started my own paranormal group at the age of 20, and I have a whole team. And I pretty much dedicate myself to figure out what is out there. And also, if people who are in distress, I try to do my best I can to help them.
Well, it's one of those things. If you experience something like that, it's got to make quite a mark and open up all those questions to want to get answered. And I wish you the best on your journey, Manny, to getting those questions answered. And thank you for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Next up on the campfire is Joseph from Canada. And we're so glad to hear from one of our friends up north. He's been listening for relatively recently and discovered us on Stitcher, that great app. So we thank the folks at Stitcher. And we thank Joseph for joining us and telling us his story. And this story surrounds one of the spookier subjects we see here at the campfire, that of shadow people. Joseph, welcome to the show and tell us what happened.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt. I live in a small Mohawk community up to Southside Montreal called Ganawage, and there's always stories going around town about shadow people or just these little people, that these dark figures and stuff. And one of the stories I had was I was lucky enough, I must have been around 9 years old, and my mom let me stay up to watch some TV. And I fell asleep on the couch upstairs, and I woken up and realized that I was upstairs and not in my bedroom. So I was going to move up to my bedroom, and mm-hmm. I heard this noise. And to me, it sounded like there was some rustling, like against the carpet. And then I recognized the noise before I looked over to it, to the direction where it was coming from. It was the sound of the rocking chair.
Ooh.
And yeah, and I turned to the rocking chair, and that's when I saw, you know, this figure. And What was weird for me was this figure was manipulating something in the room, because I had experiences before this of seeing things maybe on the corner of my eye.
Right.
But now I'm staring right at it, and it's sitting in a rocking chair, and it's moving the rocking chair, and I could hear the rocking chair along the carpet. And so a little bit of panic sets in, but I mean, I'm not screaming or anything.
Sure.
And I get up, and here's the weird thing. Years later, I have researched about, you know, some people had said shadow people are not really three-dimensional.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
But what I've noticed, what I remember from this experience is when I got up from the couch, I stared at this figure, and it was three-dimensional because I had to spin around, kind of go around the rocking chair, and I was staring at it the entire time, and it had three dimensions to it. And what's a real funny thing is it was holding something in its hand. And what I told my mother at the time, you know, I was so young, she said, what is it that they hold in their hand? And I said, it's the thing that a farmer has when he's moving hay. So she's like, a pitchfork. I said, yeah. Mm. I said, it looks like a pitchfork, this weird thing, you know? And anyway, back to that night. So I'm walking around this thing. It's definitely three dimensions. And then I look up, and I had heard or read about other experiences of people who've seen this also, but there appeared to be more shadow people in the kitchen area. But what I found strange was there appeared to be like, it looked like branches or like roots that are made out of like the same thing that the shadow people look like, but it was in the corners of the room. And I thought that was crazy, but I had seen people draw pictures of this before saying they saw the same thing. And It's very strange. It looked like it was coming out of the corners of the room. And I seen more figures, but by this time I needed to, I just wanted to get to my mom's room because I knew she was lying in bed, and I jumped in bed with her. I didn't wake her up. And here's the part that I liked the most was, I never felt threatened by these these beings. And what made me feel extra better was I had gotten in the bed and one of them had followed me. So again, I'm not very scared, you know, because the elders in our community told us you shouldn't be scared by these things. And this thing started to walk back and forth at the foot of the bed. And then it was doing that, and another one popped up, and they kind of bumped into each other. And I started laughing. And then I just, you know, I woke up my mom and I said, Mom, look. And then she looked and they disappeared and she said she couldn't see them.
Oh my.
Yeah. And so the weird thing is after all that was, a few years after that, they were digging up a main public road in our town and, found out, and this is maybe 300 feet from my house. They found an old burial site that the town had forgotten about because it's kind of like a Native American settlement,
right.
And it was run by the Christians. And if you weren't following the Christian faith, you had to be buried outside the fort walls, just outside the church. And I live right near the church, and so there was a lot of people that were put to rest that were not following the Catholic religion at the time.
Did this experience change your thoughts on the paranormal?
Yeah, nothing's really scary. You know what I mean? There's nothing threatening about it, and it's just it just opens up your perspective of the universe, and to just be open-minded about what could be out there and what could exist.
Well, that's what we're here for, is to ask those questions. I don't know that we'll ever have any answers, but it's certainly interesting and compelling to ask them. We thank you for sharing your story today on The Campfire.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Leanne joins us from Illinois. She's a fairly new listener. She joined the smartphone world a few months ago and looked up podcasts, and she's interested in paranormal and found ours, and she says it's her favorite podcast, so I thank her for that. And she wanted to tell us a story about her parents, something that happened surrounding them, a very poignant kind of story. Leanne, thank you for listening. I'm so glad you did find us. And
glad to be here. Thank you.
Tell us what happened.
Well, Jim, my parents died 13 months apart. They both died from cancer. My mom had a rare strain of ovarian cancer. She passed first. She was 61. She passed away in 2005. My dad was also sick at the same time and would not go to look into, you know, treatment. My dad said to my mom, you know, we're going to worry about you first. But my mom ended up passing within a year of her finding out, you know, she was sick. So she passed, and I, you know, went with my dad and, you know, got his diagnosis, and he had throat cancer. He died within a year. Now, they were raising my brother's three kids. You know, you should probably know that. And I had two of my own. I moved back home. Mm-hmm. You know, we all took care of my dad. My dad passed, and we're closing up the house. It took a few years. Closing up the house, and there's barely anything in it. My daughter is about, I don't know, 7 feet away from me. And
take your time.
My daughter is about 7 feet away from me. She's clearing out one of the drawers. Mm-hmm. And I'm boxing up some stuff. Just like I said, about 7 feet from her. And I hear, in this voice that's struggling, I hear, "I don't have to."
Ooh.
Or it was, "I don't hate you." But it was, the voice was really struggling. And, you know, watching all these paranormal shows, and I thought I would just drop the box or just run, scream. I didn't. You know, it seemed like to listen to this voice, it sounded like forever. But it was just a few seconds. And I looked over at my daughter and I said, "What did you say?" She goes, "Nothing." I said, "Did you hear that?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, let's just box this stuff up and let's go." We left kind of swiftly, but we weren't, you know, screaming, running out of the house. It was, like I said, my dad passed from throat cancer. He was a very proud man. He wasn't talking the last 8 months he was alive. Mm. From all the surgeries, uh-huh. He couldn't talk. He just write. It really sounded like this voice was struggling to say something. And I can't imagine him saying, "I don't hate you." It wasn't in either of my parents' vocabulary to say the word hate.
Right.
There's nothing that hate is not, you know, you don't say that.
Right.
And I think it, he said, I'd like to think that he said, "I don't have to." And I think what he was trying to say was he doesn't have to leave the house. He was a very proud man. He worked very hard. And like I told you, you know, he raised three of my brother's kids. They were, you know, just hitting their 60s. They loved every minute of it. That's really it. You know, that's really it. And, you know, that's it.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I don't, sometimes the simpler a story, the more true to life it rings to me. You know what I'm saying? It's that. I think when these things happen, a communication from a loved one, I don't think it always has to be the full body apparition like you see in the movies. It could be something simple like this, but that's meaningful to the person it's meant for. It's, you say that's it, but I think it's a pretty big thing. And a pretty big thing that you decide to share it with us, and I certainly appreciate it.
Oh gosh, dang! It was hard to tell. It was, you know, but I feel so much better somebody hearing it and what you had to say about it. That really helped so much.
Well, thank you, Leanne, for listening and for being a part of the campfire.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to listen to hear all the stories.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of The Campfire. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoy putting it together for you. And I hope you'll share your stories. Just go over to jimherold.com/campfire. That's jimherold.com/campfire. We thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time. Stay spooky.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.